Whatever Joe gets, that's what
I'll wait a minute. So you're betting me?
Yeah, I'll bet you, but I pay you if he doesn't.
And I got to pay you if he does?
Yeah.
I ain't doing that.
It's a bet. That's what a bet is. That's exactly the definition.
No, because now I got to deal with him calling you, make sure you don't eat. All of a sudden, you're biking buddies.
I'm wearing a spandex shirt.
Yeah, buying each other spandex. And
you're both wearing dumb helmets.
What's up, everyone? I have just arrived in Los Angeles, California. It is a full moon, although I'm petrified to walk on a deck. I get this beautiful balcony. It's a stunning night. I mean, it's stunning. It's clear. See the stars, see the planes, see all the lights. It's stunning. Absolutely stunning. But you know what? Every time, I was going to say, I am petrified. And I mean petrified of balconies, especially in LA, because I know this is terrible, but normally I'm not a person of fear. But when I go to LA, I'm always a little wary about going out on a balcony because I'm petrified that a earthquake will break out, and then I'm stuck on a balcony, and if the thing goes, that's it. I'm a goner. Where at least inside, if the floors collapse, have that pancake effect and I may survive it. So yeah, I really want to sit out in the balcony right now, but I only last about 20 seconds. And so I'm out here, I'm going to film a video for the band Train. I think it's called Train Cup or something. I don't want to say what it is, and I don't know what it is, but yeah, it's like Cedric the Entertainer, George Lopez, myself, couple other really famous guys. It's gonna be a lot of fun. We show up at a wedding and tear it up, from what I believe. So I'm working on videos. I'm shooting. He's gonna be a dick tonight. Luke, can we get a little bit of "He's gonna be a dick tonight"? Thank you, sir. So I have this friend who's absolutely hilarious. He murders at one lines. This should be a game show after him, where you literally just see how long it takes for him to either piss you off or cry. One or the other. He's either going to make you cry or he's going to get you pissed off, and you have to stand behind a line and do it. If you cross the line to go after him or say something, boom, you lose. We'll see how long it takes. Like make me laugh. That's called make me cry or make me mad. So we got a guy. He's a great friend of mine. We'll be filming that this week, filming a little bit of raising teenage girls and filming a little bit more of thrash. But I'm not going to lie to you, I've been frustrated because I keep wanting to write the new album, when, you know, it's just hard when you can't get together with a bunch of people and do it. You know, you I don't know. But then again, also, I think I'm going to do a different style this way. I think I'm going to do a completely different style. One that I've done before, but mix it. I'll talk to the guys about it, but I think it's basically going to be developed while we're live, which, by the way, we will be in Peoria, Illinois in May. And I'll get you that Chicago date. Chicago, I'm going to do stand-up and the music. Should be good. Should be very good. Did you guys see the cartoon? This thing's freaking hilarious. But I don't know if it's... like, is it offensive? Is it offensive? Lou, that cartoon that I sent you, can you just play like the actual clip? Because it was freaking hilarious. It's The Odd Couple with Rob Halford and Ozzy Osbourne, and Ozzy moves in with Halford, And I just, I don't know. I'm going to ask Eddie Trunk if Halford would be, would he be bothered by this?
Oh, damn, someone must be at the door. Ozzy, I'm so surprised to see you. Is everything okay?
No, it isn't, Rob. Sharon kicked me out of the house, and I have no place to stay.
Good dear, very sorry to hear that. Come in and make yourself comfortable.
Excuse me, Robert, do you mind if I move these shackles and chains?
Of course not. Ozzy, so tell me, dear, what truly happened?
Sharon found out about me and the hairdresser. Can you believe that madness? I don't know how she found it. She just found it.
Yeah, but your hair does look lovely. It's very glossy. Did she do it for you?
No, Rob. Sharon found out I was shagging the hairdresser. And she threw me out. And now it's just the kids, you know, Kelly and Jack and the other one. And Kelly's sitting there texting her name all over the place. It's just this madness. It's madness.
I'm very, very sorry to hear that, Ozzy. Can I get you something to eat, like a banana? And maybe a big, long cucumber, if you like greens. Or drink, perhaps tea and a banana? I have lots of bananas.
You know, my wife was like, don't show that. It's... And plus this week, by the way, this Wednesday, it's the Comedy Jam on Comedy Central with Rob Halford. And we do You Got Nothing Coming. That's going to be sick. If you told me when I was a kid and I heard that song and I was this little meathead, wasn't even fully developed puberty-wise, I'm sitting in my bedroom with pizza rolls watching Judas Priest concert on MTV, thinking this is better than going to the movie. I was in heaven. I'm gonna shut my curtain. I was in heaven. They would say, tonight on MTV it's Judas Priest in concert. I had a whole routine. Couldn't wait for my parents to go to bed, because usually came on like 11 or midnight or something like that. And I had pizza rolls, stick them in the toaster about 10 minutes before the concert started, take it out, murder it with salt and pepper, get a Coke, put on ice, pow, sit in my bedroom and watch Judas Priest Screaming for Vengeance tour. My whole street was into it. If you told me then, and that song, that one song, You Got Another Thing Coming, because I grew up in Long Island, and my parents were really blue collar. And I tell you what, growing up blue collar, I wouldn't trade in for the world. It's gritty. People, they work so hard, so hard. Do the right thing. Loyal. Heavily family based. It was the greatest. I told my kids when I had kids growing, you know, I have my kids now, but I told them literally, I went, listen, my father used to say to me, I hope you have, I want you to have better opportunities than me. I want you to be better than me. That's what my father used to always say. And I didn't realize what he came from. I didn't get the whole thing. And as I got older, I look at my kids, I'm like, I hope you have half of what I had as a kid, because I had the greatest childhood ever. Ever. But if you told me back then, going to see Judas Priest live, there was this place called Slip Disc on Rockaway Avenue in Valley Stream, and you would go to buy records and stuff like that. And years ago, you would, you know, people like my age, I don't know how old you are listening, but you go to the record store and you would see like Coming Out in 2 weeks, and it'd be a line waiting to get the record. Like in the morning, if the record store opened at 10, we'd be there at 9:30. Just like, man, half hour. We can't leave here. We'll lose our place in line. There's only like four of us. It was. We go in there, and there was these Halford wristbands with spikes on them. So I wanted. I dressed like him. I had no clue it was an S&M outfit. Had no clue. My dad would just shake his head. Made him very suspect to me. Very suspect.
Let me tell you something. You're suspect. Yeah, you.
But that's weird how that happens. You're watching that. And then here I am. Over 30 years later. And the song that changed everything. There was this kid on my street, Billy. Billy was super nerdy. Not nerdy, I take that back. He was brilliant. He was extremely brilliant. You could tell just by looking at him. He could figure out anything. He was smart. He had business cards by the time he was 10, 11 years old. He was infatuated with airplanes. He'd watch every single airplane go over every 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and log what they were. The thing would go over and he'd be like, that's a 747 Pan American. It's 11:13 a.m. while we're trying to play stickball game. And I remember one time I was on my porch and I'm blasting. You got another thing coming. I'm sitting on my front patio with one of those like miniature boom boxes. It wasn't a big boom box, but a mini boom box. Only took like 6 batteries instead of 12 double Ds. And this time I plugged in and through my kitchen through the screen window. Pissed my mother off because all the mosquitoes would come in. And I'm blasting on my street. You got another day, one life. And I remember Billy going, this is just a fad. You'll grow out of it. I said, nah, man, I think this is my song forever. This is the song, as crazy as it sounds. This is my hopes and dreams song right here. And it has my whole life. I remember when I was in college, my friends would crack up every time that song would come on, because I'd go berserk in the car, berserk, mouth out, act out the entire song, because it was more than just a song for me, it was a dream, it was me setting goals and going after those goals, my whole life, keep going, only you can see those dreams. And I learned that stuff a long way. Everyone else is trying to figure out, and you're looking for answers from others, but they can't see what's in your head, and they can't see that song, You Got Another Thing Coming. That's what that song was to me. I didn't see that he was, that nothing else mattered. I don't care if he was gay. I don't care. I don't care if he wore like an S&M, came out with a bullwhip in his mouth and he's riding a motorcycle. I didn't care about any of that. That song, one life. It was, if you told me back then, I even joined the fan club. I was a Judas Priest fan club member. They have to have records of it. They have to have records of it. I wish I could find my little stuff that they would send me, but they would send me fan letters, you know, not fan letter, but the newsletter and stuff like that. And I'd get so excited. I remember we did a Ouija board once in my friend Phil's basement, a Ouija board. And they asked the Ouija when the next Priest album was coming out. And it said something like September 18th. Like, oh my God, this is crazy. It's so creepy. It didn't, for the record, didn't come out anywhere near September.
I'm feeling something. He knows someone by the name of Anna, Consuelo, Linda, Maria.
Sisi, it's Mama. She is Maria.
Yes! Praise God, I knew he was with his mama.
Oh my God.
What a shocker. So if you told me back then that over 30 years later, I'd be on television, singing with Rob Halford of Judas Priest, You Got Another Thing Coming, the song that was my battle cry for life. I see you crazy, but it's true, and it airs this Wednesday on Comedy Central.
We can't close our eyes to the plight of the cities.
Kids, you noticing all this plight?
This will just make us appreciate what we have. Roll them up.
Oh, yes, the beautiful sounds of L.A. Sirens and helicopters. I've been in a funk for a little while. I was totally disappointed with the way the music went. I felt like we have something really awesome with songs like Old School and Raising Teenage Girls and Thresh. But what I learned more about it was just no one even knows about it. Just no one knows about it. I mean, I go on the road and I'm playing all these places and it just, they have no clue. Even when I play the record, they're like, is that, as they're sitting, they're like, what is that? I'm like, yeah, that's, well, it sounds pretty sick. But I learned as I go on tour in the fall and stuff, you really just gotta, you have to market yourself. Like all my stand-up shows, I actually learned a little something from watching Sebastian Maniscalco, who is a rock star. Rock star. And not only is he a rock star, great guy, and he's funny as he's hilarious. He's hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. I remember seeing him years ago when he wasn't as physical. And even just not being as physical in Montreal, there was a bit where I begged him, like, oh man, you did something with the hose, and I think it was cleaning the siding. I don't remember. Something with a hose. I said, oh my God, you got to act that out. He is belly laughing funny.
You come from immigrant parents. They put you to work real early, okay? Been working since I've been 8 years old. Watching TV, my father walked in the living room. He's like, hey, go start a business. Now?
But what I learned from him was, it's like an event. You show up and he's got video playing before he walks out there, and it's a freaking event. It's something I have to do. I have to do. And then you can advertise all your own stuff. Play the music videos. Play funny bits. Play the cartoon. Do you guys like that cartoon? Write us. Let us know if you liked it. It's right on the website. Hit it. It's a YouTube piece right on the website. Should be there. It's a little, I'm not gonna lie, I was a little disappointed. However, and it's been frustrating trying to book your own stuff, but I'm ready now. I'm ready now. We're gonna book a bunch of stuff. Towards the end, we started really gelling as a group. And it was, but since we had a long time off, it's, I don't know how bands do it. I don't know how they go for years without like a label and getting money and just living on the road. That's madness. It's madness. I could do that if I wanted to. Why would I want to do that right now? I mean, those guys put in some serious legwork and just work in general, busting their ass. My hat's off to all musicians that do that. But this second go around, you know, I'm pretty excited about making the videos. I'm pretty excited about doing shows and presenting this in a whole different way, the way I saw it from the beginning. That is super exciting to me. I got to be honest with you. And if it goes the way my vision goes, and I got this guy who's helped me out with it, and I tell you what, this guy Eddie, he's been incredibly inspiring, pushing me to keep going, and it's got a nice spark out of me, and I'm ready to go. I see Caggiano a bunch of times. He calls and texts almost every other day. Rob Caggiano's awesome. I'm gonna go check out Volbeat when they're at the Starland Ballroom. They're doing all these little one-off shows while they're touring with Metallica, so you can see them with Avenged Sevenfold, Metallica, and that whole tour. But if you just want to see Volbeat, they're doing their own thing. So you should look up to see what they're playing. I really, really want to tour this thing. And I'm not going to lie to you, it's extremely frustrating. I played some shows in Tennessee all my past, the past shows, I had such a great time. I was in Biloxi. I was in Nashville, Memphis, Huntsville, Alabama. And, you know, people, I had people come up to me going, hey, I saw you at Chicago Open Air Festival, and you blew me away. I was completely blown away. That's why I was a fan ever since. And I had that with a couple of the festivals I did. And that's frustrating, because I begged management, like, just get me on these festivals. And, oh, 100%, you're going to be on there. I wish they just didn't say that. That's false hope. That's false hope. What are you going to do? So that's why, no matter what you're doing, you got to take your own actions and do what you got to do. You know, you can't expect someone else to sell your dreams and your vision. You have to do it. Establish it and let someone come in and take care of it. That's what I'm hoping happens. Well, I don't know if I hope that happens. I just want it to be good and want to be able to start touring, hopefully by the fall with this thing. I know we have shows in May, but I'm talking about with the production. I want to launch that suck in Vegas in September. But I'm definitely going to go back to that stand-up stuff. You know, I was listening to, Larry, the Cable Guy, and Jeff Foxworthy on their channel on Sirius, and it was an old bit called The Wizard years and years ago. I was still kind of, you know, wasn't as tame as I am now. And that was a great time. I would tour with my friends, and they were musicians, and those were great shows. I wish I recorded a whole bunch, but gosh, those were great shows. And that's what I'm hoping to get out of this new venture by the end of the year. Not only just being able to do the songs, but be able to mix the stand-up with the songs, a one-man show, talk a little deeper, be inspiring, be intellectual, go deep. And then I got these amazing musicians to back me. It'll be, we got a little taste of it towards the end. So hopefully we'll get that. So I'll update you on this whole train cruise thing. And don't forget Wednesday. If you have a chance, watch that. At least for me, at least for Rob Halford. I mean, the metal god, come on. Went out of his way just to do that for me. That says a lot about that guy. All right, you guys, I'm getting tired. I need to go to bed. I have to get up early, shoot this train video. I'm super excited about it. I miss my kids. I miss my family. I was home for a little bit yesterday. It was my nephew's birthday, who's a musician. He's really into rock and classic rock, and he's an awesome kid. And so I'm going to go to bed. I sound like a frog. I flew for 6.5 hours, been traveling all day, trying to get my mother transferred into a nursing home because she's slumping in a chair and just, You know, those are the little things that people don't see. Those are the little, you know, just the care for my mom. Yeah, my wife, kids. I'm tired, man. But I love what I do, and I love that you guys listen, and I love that you support us. Thank you, by the way. Thank you. All right, we'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening. Well, here we go. Here's the first question of the Out of Touch game for Rob Halford. All right, Rob.
Oh, Lord.
We know you're into your motorcycles, and I'm going to ask you, because something tells me, maybe you don't go personally do it, a 2010 Harley-Davidson motorcycle, ultra-classic Electra Glide, starting at roughly
$12,000. Lou, how stupid am I, Lou?
Price is $35,990.
Oh my God! That's because they gave me mine for a dollar. That Harley the priest still uses, he got it from a dollar because it was like a legal contractual thing. I feel like so stupid now. 35 grand?
Maybe it was a little too tricky.
Okay.
But this one I think you can nail, Rob. This one I can nail. Now,
what is
also,
it, like a leather jock strap?
Ah, you're damn close. You're close.
My extensive selection of Kurt Price dildos.
Well, not quite there. However, how much for a leather bullwhip with wooden handle? 8-foot leather bullwhip. Lou, where'd you find this?
No, this is just a regular.
This is off eBay.
Online. Yes, it's cheap.
I would say
8-foot wooden handle.
I would say
leather bullwhip.
Oh Lord. The music is playing like you're running out of time. Music that drives you nuts. I'm gonna throw. I'm gonna say $50.
$50. Oh, God.
Now come on, Lou.
Lou,
is it three? Is it three digits? Is it three digits? It's two digits. Is it an odd number or an even number?
It's one digit.
It's one digit. What's one? That means like it's $9.
Correct.
Yes.
Where the hell are you buying your stuff from, Lou? $9. Jesus, hook me up, bro. Hook me up. Those are going to be my cheap ass Christmas gifts for all my friends this year. $9 bullwhip. Lou, where did you find that price?
That was expensive. There was like a lot for $5, and it said 8-foot real leather bullwhip.
That ain't real leather. Oh. That's some kind of plastic schmashtick pleather with a P. Where did you find that, Lou? I want to know.
I just Googled leather bullwhip.
Googled.
He
might have been a slightly used whip.
Yeah, okay. That's fall in the park price. That is at $9. $9 for a 10-foot bullwhip with a leather handle. That's really irritated me. I don't know why. Dude, I got stung then because I pay like $50 a pop for mine. When they saw me coming, like, ooh, there's the metal god, $50. Jack up the price.
Man, all right, Rob, insane. Well, that's okay. We'll shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. Rob Halford.
Can we play Plinko next? Dude, I'm out of touch.
He's out of touch. That's all right. There's I'm other questions for you, Rob.
I'm out of touch. oh, man.
No more.